Welcome to Hermaphobia. I'm Alan.
And I'm Mark.
Good day, sir.
Hello.
And how was your week?
Without
getting too explicit.
It's over. It's the weekend.
Okay. Might I start things out by saying you are a motherfucker.
Thank you.
We went to the casino last night, and you walked out richer, and I walked out poorer, and I don't like that.
As it should be.
I don't like that.
That's what, 2 weeks in a row, or no?
Not 2 weeks in a row. We don't go that often, damn it.
2 times in a row, at least. I walked out of there $200 in the good.
Yeah, not so much me. Not so much me. And another reason you are a motherfucker. Or at least a complete lack of any kind of humanitarian.
Oh, okay.
The other night I twittered, what exactly is the function of the 8-year-old unarmed security guard at Safeway? Intimidation? To which you replied, and this is why you're going to burn in hell, sir. I think it's to remind you not to outlive your retirement savings. That's hurtful, Mark.
And you notice that it came within like seconds of you posting that as well.
The fact that you had that kind of knee-jerk, horrible reaction is only proof that you are the devil's spawn. That's terrible.
I'll let my dad know.
That'll teach him to fucking bang somebody in a graveyard.
It was the 60s.
Yeah. The 1660s.
Ow.
Anyhow, some good news this week. Kate Bush's new single, Deeper Understanding, came out for her upcoming album, Director's Cut, which is going to be a reworking of songs from The Sensual World and The Red Shoes. Not her last album, but the 2 albums before her last albums. I'm excited. The new single is awesome.
Wasn't Rubber Band Girl on one of those ones?
Yeah, that was on The Red Shoes.
Yeah, I thought so.
But that song's not getting reworked. There's a lot of ones like And So Is Love, This Woman's Work she's redoing. The tweet, the weaved out voice there in A Deeper Understanding is her son. It's the kid that kept us from a good Kate Bush album for about 15 years.
The little bastard.
I know, the little fucking devil spawn there. You should relate to that. So, a little callback to last time. We were going to talk about Body of Proof and Mildred Pierce because I hadn't seen the one and neither of us had seen the other.
I still haven't seen Mildred Pierce.
You motherfucker.
I'm so sorry, man. But I have seen all the Body of Proof, so we can talk about that.
I've only seen the first two.
Okay. We'll just talk about the first two then.
But what do you think of the show as a whole?
I'm liking it. It's still needing to, I think, get to full speed, but it's going to get there, I think.
Just a little note to all the little Hollywood producers that are making TV. You do not have to have a child / teen drama in the middle of your show. You just don't.
Mm-hmm.
Adults will sit down and watch the show all by themselves without their teenagers. And it doesn't really matter how many teenagers you put into a show like Body of Proof. You're not going to get teenagers to watch it.
No.
So this little fucking side drama that's going on about her daughter, it's got to go.
Yeah, because adults that are going to be watching this already have that kind of drama at home. They don't need that.
Well, I'm an adult and I'm watching it and I don't have that
drama.
Well,
no, I'm saying
I don't want that drama.
I know, that's just it. But like the people who have families that are watching this, chances are already have issues with their kids. They don't need to see other people's issues.
It's just
with their
kids. Ruin shows like this all the time. It's like, what was that one that came out last year with Rona Mitra? It was about the vampires and the werewolves and the witches. Exactly. Like
Haven.
That wasn't it.
No, it wasn't Haven. Shit, I've seen all the episodes, but
this was another example of that. If they would have just focused on the adult drama,
but no, yeah, they had to do all the teen werewolf shit and the and the teen what was she again? Succubus.
Whatever. Yeah. You know, like, as much as I love Rona Mitra, it was goodbye. Like, I couldn't fucking stand that show. Like, it was, you know, for the what, maybe 15, 18 minutes of screen time Rona Mitra was getting, I couldn't sit through the fucking teen angst. I mean, if that's what I wanted to watch, I'd go fucking check out 16 and Pregnant or
The Hills or whatever the fuck it's called. Yeah.
Like, I just don't need it.
Is that show even still on, The Hills?
I don't know. Like, because I know you're the biggest, you know, Spencer and Heidi fan, so.
Is that who's on it?
I think so. but don't quote me on that. I saw them on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, which was mostly fun to watch Janice Dickinson pee in camp. Please, celebrities, do not pee in the camp. It will attract rats. Huh? Really? There's a little. See, now there's a fact I didn't know. You pick things up watching reality TV. Don't pee in camp. It attracts the rats.
Oh, there is one correction I would like to make from last week. It was not J.K. Simmons.
No, you're right.
As the dad in Whip It, it was Daniel Stern.
Which is probably the best thing Daniel Stern has ever done.
Yeah, a fantastic job. Completely unlike anything that I've seen him in
before. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, he wasn't the nebbish, anxiety-riddled, like, he just, his characters, I've always hated his characters.
Yeah, and this was, he was a very likable, lovable dad.
Very much so, yeah. Yeah. In his rather bloated stasis, he was not looking good, but he was acting quite well.
But yeah, it was J.K. Simmons who played the dad in Juno.
Really?
Yes.
No.
Well, no, shut your hole.
No, this would be a very quiet podcast. All right, what else can we talk about here? Google's had a bit of a week. It's kind of raining shit all over them. And I, you know what? I love the Goog. I will fully admit I am a Goog fanboy. Our podcast is being hosted at Blogspot, which is a Google joint. We do the Gmail. If you want to email us, you can email us at hermaphobia@gmail.com. You know, it. I think that
Android runs through my veins.
There you go. I think Google is. I think for the potential evil that is there, and believe me, there is a potential for evil. I think the good outweighs, by far outweighs.
Oh yeah.
However, that does not stop it from raining shit all around them. Speaking of Android, it is being targeted by open source communities. Because of the Honeycomb code being held back and the open source community saying Android's no longer open source. Google's saying it's not quite baked yet, so we don't want to release it out into the public.
Yeah.
This is more or less a bid for Google to sort of take control of Android and make sure that it doesn't continue to splinter the way that it has been with everybody running different devs on different devices all over the place. They sort of want to start
circling the wagons, or not circling the wagons,
sort of homogenize the experience so that everybody is having a relatively similar experience.
So like, yeah, everybody, like, if I go to the store right now and pick up a phone, I'll have the same experience as Joe Blow down in, say, California.
Well, more to the point, it's everybody who's using an iPhone is having the same experience. The platform doesn't splinter until you start it did a little bit last year with the iPad coming out and it being stuck a dev or two behind. But for the most part, it's a pretty uniform experience. And I think that that's what moving forward Android wants to do, which only makes sense. It really does only make sense. If they do want Android to continue in the market the way that it has been, it does sort of have to be that it be more of a communal experience. That you know, that your experience with it is the same as mine. And if you have trouble, I can help you. If you have trouble, if I have trouble, you can help me. It's not, you pick it up and go, really? This is Android? What the
Yeah.
This is in hieroglyphics, so this is too old. Like, you know? and that, I mean, look at the phone that you had before your new one. You were stuck on, what, 1.6 forever?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the rest of the world was on 2.1, 2.2.
Like, yeah, and actually the phone I gave my mom is still on 1.6.
That's insane.
And, well, because it just, it can't run. Like as it was, my phone was struggling at 2.1. I just did something on my phone this weekend, which I still love. Oh, fuck, I love it. But I backed up all of my text messages like I used to do with my old phone.
Ooh, I remember that used to...
Yeah, and,
you, when did, I used, you did that one time, and it like locked up for like damn near, it was a whole night.
Yeah, and that was it, trying to delete all of my text messages after I'd already archived them. I did it on this phone right here. I saved them, and then I pushed delete messages, and by the time I got my finger back up off of the phone, it was done. And I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, and then I think that's the experience that Google wants their users to have. Like, yeah. You know, not the covered wagon one that you had before.
But yeah, I've gotten a lot of use out of my phone just this last week. I watch all of my TV shows on it now.
Yeah,
I read comics. It's,
but I think, you know, if. You know, Google's still saying, okay, well, we're still open source. If you want, you know, you can Google, what was the dev before
Honeycomb? Rev, actually. Froyo.
2.3?
Did it go? No, I'm on Froyo right now.
Gingerbread, Honeycomb. Gingerbread. Gingerbread is 2.3. So they're saying.
No, Gingerbread is 3.0.
No.
No, you're right.
Honeycomb
Sorry.
Is 3.0.
Oh, fuck. Where
Gingerbread
my brain?
Is 2.3, and Google is saying that it is open. The source is out there. If you want to play with it, go hard.
Mm-hmm.
But for right now, we're still baking 3.0 until it's ready.
I would like them to finish getting it right and then release it. Yeah. It only makes sense.
Well, and there's only one device out right now that has 3.0, and that is the... not Samsung. It is the... Zoom. Who puts out the Zoom?
Motorola,
yes. And but do you know how much the Zoom costs?
No.
It's fucking $800 fucking tab.
Huh.
That's insane. So here comes Acer to the rescue with their new tab for 450 Wi-Fi.
Hmm.
Much more palatable.
Indeed.
Which was something I was going to ask you about, which is kind of, I got notes all over the place here, so we're kind of converging.
Yeah.
Analysts are sort of saying that, you know, the tablet is, it is going to bring people back to the laptop. That, that this is sort of, in between, it's sort of a tweener stage to go back to, more powerful, more, app centric laptops that are going to sort of, you're going to start seeing this interface bleed into the desktop. Hmm. Or slash laptop experience.
I think they might be full of it.
Well, but then there's other analysts that are saying that tabs are going to explode. This is the consumer experience that customers want. That the average customer wants. You know, very very simplistic, very tactile. You know, you're not using a secondary device to move things around on the screen. You just, mm-hmm. you know, it's very, very, very tactile.
Well, and this, like what you have in your hand right now, that Samsung Galaxy Tab, 7-inch, right?
Yeah.
It is the future. Like 20 years ago, when we were watching Star Trek Next Generation, okay, I was, you weren't, they had these things all over the place. They were called pads, and they were pretty much disposable. You know, they just had all the information that you ever wanted on there. You could put your music, your journals, everything that they were doing on there. They had a little pad for, and you can see it on like Picard's desk. He had like stacks of them. Yeah, this is the future.
Well, I think this is the way to the future. We were talking last week about, you know, the translucent. The screens and stuff like that. And I think that when you can get them into a form factor, which would, you know, basically be like a pen.
And you can just stick it in your pocket.
Yeah. And then when you need to use it, you just pull out your screen, roll it back in.
They already have something similar to that for the Army. It's on their, like, it's like a wrist-based computer. And yeah, they pull out a screen on it. But yeah,
but it's a hard screen stuff.
Yeah, and it's well, no, it's
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's well, top end. But
yeah, they can afford that shit for them.
Yeah,
but they
can't, that's to say, it's also really, really
best for them. Yeah,
it's also, nice. It's also like really, really bulky. Yet,
no, let's not get onto the military thing.
No,
no. So Google's having a little bit of trouble over in Europe. They're an antitrust law suit is being brought against them, spearheaded by Microsoft, who claim that, you know, Google's using unsavory practices in sharing YouTube, that they weren't giving proper access to Microsoft to YouTube, which I really still don't understand. If it's Google's product, why do they even have to give any access to Microsoft? But for whatever the reason, Microsoft bitched and moaned, and it sounds like the EU is going to move forward on an antitrust investigation. Meanwhile, in Italy, this is, I think, if this is probably my like little anger ball of the week, this one really pisses me off. Google was successfully sued for suggestion results. Apparently, some guy, then they never did name who he was, because I guess, you know, they got to protect the guilty, as it were. When he Googles his name and then puts the word is afterwards, words were coming up like con man, fraud.
Douchebag?
No, that because he had apparently, he was involved in some sort of ripoff scheme.
Oh, nice.
And so, you know, the terms were right, but you know, when you start typing into the Google bar and it starts auto-completing.
Yeah.
And so you put in his name and then is, and then the next words that were auto-completing were con man, fraud, all of these. Well,
aren't those a lot of like previous searches
and yes! things like that? Yeah. Those are the top ranked searches that are coming up first. So basically, Google is being sued for how
its users,
the public, uses their service to search.
Huh.
Like, this is ridiculous. So then, like, what the fuck? Like, this is insane. Like, how did any judge with even a remote knowledge of technology come to this conclusion? You're punishing somebody for somebody else's curiosity. Like,
well, it's just the same sort of thing that happened with, I believe it was Winchester back in the day. They were being sued by victims of people who used Winchester weapons. It was
completely different.
Not really.
I think it is completely different, because this is people going onto a computer
using Google's product.
But I mean, it could have been, I mean, whatever, I'm sure that whatever search bar had showed up in front of them, they would have asked the same freaking question, right? I'm sure that if Microsoft had a similar product, or if,
like Bing,
Well, no, but if Bing had the autocomplete like that, or Yahoo or something like that, the same results would come up, because the most common searches are going to rise to the top. Like, they were doing it on This Week in Tech, and Leo Laporte was doing Leo Laporte Is, and then the first, you know, things were coming up were gay and, you know, things like that. And so what is he going to do? Is he going to then turn around and sue Google because people are asking or saying that he's gay? Like, it's absurd. It's absolutely ridiculous. You would have to fucking file a suit against the public at large. I think that this was completely misdirected, and it's, again, an abuse of the legal system.
Well, yeah, because, well, it was who has the deepest pockets around here? Let's sue them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And really, how has his, like this guy, how has his good reputation been besmirched by Google?
Well, it hasn't. He besmirched it himself.
Exactly. So, well, why doesn't he sue himself?
I don't know. It's absolutely ridiculous. Okay, well, let's depart from Google here and talk about the iPhone. Don't get too excited, Mark.
Alrighty.
I know what that does for you. They're, I forget who it was. They put together this infographic of the complete iPhone rumors to date so far. And I thought maybe we'd go through some of them and think and sort of give our opinion on what we think may be true and which may not.
Alrighty. This will be my first time seeing this, so right on.
False. The first one that they're saying is that the iPhone 5 is going to have a better camera. And analysts were about 50% in agreement on this one. Mm. I think that moving forward, they have to continue to upgrade their hardware.
I would see maybe a better front-facing camera, because the rear camera is already quite good, isn't it?
It is really, really, really nice. But I mean, you know, you can always improve things, and I don't think that I think that improving hardware is just a natural progression in whatever.
Does it already have like a Carl Zeiss lens or something on it, or? Well, you got the phone. Just go look at it. Like it says, it'll say like right on the lens if it's Carl Zeiss.
I don't know, man. Have you seen an iPhone? There's not a lot of writing on it. That's dude. Fine. Okay. Anyhow, moving on. The next one will not have a home button. 20% of the analysts agree with this.
Well, I think that is complete and utter nonsense. How could you not have a home button?
Well, some of the new Zoom, or not the Zoom, the Android tablets are no longer having the bottom buttons. They will be on screen.
Mm. Well, I know that on my previous phone, yeah, my home and all that stuff, they were all like hard buttons. Like they were actual like full on buttons. But on my new phone, yeah, it's more of a soft button. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it's the same with the Galaxy Tab. I mean, it is in the bezel, mm-hmm. but it is still it's a soft button. So, I think it's possible, but with considering the complete lack of buttons on an iPhone to begin with,
yeah. How would you turn it on to get to the soft button?
Well, power buttons on top.
But yeah, but every single time you wanted to use it,
I'm not Steve Jobs.
Wow, does your phone ever seem tiny now compared to mine?
They're saying that the iPhone, the next iteration, will likely have a bigger screen, trying to keep up with the 4 and 5 inch models of Android phones that are in the market.
Mm.
80% of analysts are in agreement of this.
I could see that. Just probably not more than 4 inch though, because they don't want to go too big.
I don't think that this one is going to happen, simply because the iPhone is designed, and the applications are designed for a certain resolution.
Oh, and can you imagine all of the hardware manufacturers that already have everything for?
Well, and what would happen is that their app store would start fragmenting, and you know, you'll have some that are, you know, playable on iPhone 4, others that are iPhone 5. You know, and I can't mm-hmm. see them letting the market start to fragment.
But that being said, Apple has been known to say, fuck you guys, we're going in this direction.
They have been, but you're talking about how many millions of apps already in their market. They don't want to, and this is a big bragging right with them, is they have more apps than Android, they have more apps than BlackBerry, they've got more apps than everybody. So to throw all of those out and start back at square one, I don't see it happening.
I don't know, because it wouldn't take too much to like rework a lot of the display outputs on the apps by all the developers. I know they have a lot of apps in there, but yeah, it's just a little bit of work compared to a complete hardware change that they seem to do every single time they do a new phone.
I don't know. I don't think that the screen size is going to change. I think Steve Jobs is not exactly a tree. He will not bend on some of these things. So,
well, when do they expect the new phone out?
Well, June is usually the month that they come out, right?
Hmm. Well, I haven't heard any like big rumors of bigger screens, so I don't know.
And with the bigger screen, they're also predicting better resolution. I mean, the iPhone 4, they're already celebrating their Retina display, but there's certain Android models that have what the hell the
AMOLED.
Yes, yes, there you go. That's how you say it. They have those screens already. So Apple's kind of fallen behind in that department as well. So I think that higher resolution is definitely a possibility. Others are saying that the phone will have exactly the same design with possibly a brushed metal back instead of a glass back this time.
Huh. Hmm. Who cares?
who cares? Freaking fanboys, and we'll get to them.
Mm-hmm.
Others are saying that it's going to be a completely new design. I don't see that happening. The iPhone fundamentally hasn't changed design since its inception.
No.
And I don't really see it going... It's a freaking monolith, and I really don't think that it will change from that.
Well, no, because it is a brand now.
Yeah.
Not just the Apple logo on it, but the size and shape of it.
Some are predicting, and actually none of the analysts are in agreement with the fact that there'll be a physical keyboard.
Oh, no.
It'll never happen.
Not while Steve Jobs is alive.
No. Others are saying there will be full HD video recording. Again, Apple is sort of behind the curve on this one. Mm-hmm. Is yours 720?
I don't know. I've never actually that. I've never played with the camera that
but
much.
But I think that the Atrix is 180.
Mm-hmm. 1080.
My bad. 1080, yes.
I too don't see HD video recording on the new iPhone yet. I would give them probably another generation or two before that comes out.
Okay, we'll just quickly burn through a couple more of these. A low-cost model, a cheap iPhone.
Hmm.
No, it's not going to happen. That is not how Apple has ever worked.
No.
They will take a larger profit margin and smaller sales every time.
Although they did do like an iPod Nano, an iPod Shuffle,
mm-hmm.
and all of those, but...
But... Even comparatively, you compare their cheap ass piece of shit fucking MP3 player to, you know, some cheap ass piece of shit MP3 player you can buy at Walmart, and you're still paying more for the Apple.
Well, yeah, but yeah, can you see like a single purpose Apple iPhone, or like maybe it can do like four apps or something, or only call three numbers like home, police, and
absolutely
fire?
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
absolutely not.
It shall not be a jitterbug.
Yes. The near field communication technology in the next phone. I don't think that will happen either because it would be a little too fast. Apple doesn't move that fast.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the next rev, but not this one. What else we got? HDMI output won't happen. It will not happen. That is way too consumer friendly for Apple to ever do.
Mm-hmm.
They may sell you an adapter that you can dock your phone into that they can charge you another $200-$300 for that would run into a TV HDMI, but kind of like
the adapter that Dell sells.
Yeah,
that will do yeah. HDMI output for my phone.
An iTunes cloud service, a streaming service from the cloud.
Hmm.
I think, especially with Amazon moving into it, I think that's an inevitability that in order to keep up or maintain their lead in the music field, that they are going to have to do it.
Yeah, at least something cloud related.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I guess that's enough. I'm going to put this whole graphic up on the website at hermaphobia.blogspot.com. And you guys can look through it all and maybe tell us what you think.
Indeed. And don't be shy to tell us that we're complete idiots.
No.
Because Alan is.
Yeah, there's no denying. So, I said the Apple fanboys.
Alrighty.
So, okay, I broke down and I jailbroke my phone last night.
Excellent.
Maybe. Well, you know what? I just want the fucking phone to work the way I want it to work.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have to fucking dick around with all of this other bullshit to just have one button to turn my Bluetooth on or off instead of having to go through fucking four different menus to get there.
Isn't Android great?
Well, Android, you still got to download a widget to get straight there kind of thing. You know, it's still buried in the menu.
Well, yeah, but you can just download a widget for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you cannot for Apple. You have to fucking jailbreak your phone and then you can download some... Anyhow, so I'm going through forums and stuff like that, trying to figure out, you know, what what jailbroken app am I going to have to get in order to do this? Da, 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 da. And, you know, there's a lot of people that had, you know, well, you know, I just want a one button solution to either toggle my Bluetooth on or off or get to the menu. And this is the Apple mindset. And this is why, you know, that Steve Jobs is not going to make a really consumer friendly phone is because he can convince the consumer that that's not what they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guys are asking, you know, I need a one button solution to my problem. And you've got the Apple fanboys going, well, why do you want that? You don't need that. You can just leave it on all the time. And obviously, this is not something that he wants to leave on all the time. And for myself, it's not something that I want on all the time because I'm going to switch my Bluetooth headphones between my computer, my Galaxy Tab, my iPhone. I've got several devices that I'm using a secondary device with. And
why do you need all those devices? You have an iPhone.
I know, right? That should be, I mean, that's my gift from God right there. You know, I don't even need a home. I've got an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just, that attitude is just, it's absolutely ridiculous. It doesn't matter why or if the person actually freaking needs it. If that's what they want, they should be able to do it. It's their fucking phone.
That's right. If they want their battery to last longer than like 6 hours, they should be able to turn that shit off.
Yeah. Yeah, it just, and this is the, you know, this is what I mean. Like, this is why you're not going to see big sweeping changes in the iPhone is because they don't have to. They've got this legion of zealots that will, he could make the phone out of hardened glazed fertilizer and they will sit there and it's the shit phone. It's the best phone ever. Ever. You yes. can barely, when you pull it away from your face, you're going to smell like that all day, but that's okay because that's, why wouldn't you want it to, why wouldn't you that's want your face smell to smell like success. That anymore? Exactly. Exactly.
Do you smell that? I have the iPhone shit model. I'm somebody.
It's just that attitude. That attitude is just, it's, makes me really want to hurt people. So anything been happening in the world that, has captured your curiosity or attention or interest?
There was one thing. I was reading the news on Engadget, this week, and one story caught my eye and made me laugh.
No, this is going to suck, guys.
No, an elderly Georgian lady disconnects the Armenian internet for half a day by accident.
She scavenging was, for copper. Yeah.
She ended up cutting a, I fail.
It was the main line into it. Yes. Yeah. And I mean, you know what? I've heard a lot of the story and tee hee hee and stuff like that. I think that the real story is that it's really sad that, all over the world, the elderly have to scavenge and skimp and do whatever they can just to get by because they are, society's forgotten.
Well, yeah, like people. That 75-year-old Japanese guy that just got found like a month after the quake. Like, he's living in his own home. He said that his wife was there at one point, but then she left. And he was running out of food and he can't walk very far. So
perhaps he outlived his retirement plan.
Oh, snap.
I'm just repeating words that came from certain Hellspawn. that was horrible, man. I still can't even believe you said that. It's just a terrible, terrible, terrible thing.
It was funny and you know it.
No. All right. Well, let's start moving out here. We do our earworms of the week. I want to say earwig so bad.
I know you do.
I really do. I don't know why, but earworms, they are those insidious little songs that get stuck in your head and they will not go away. Yeah. And what is yours this week, sir?
I do not have one.
Yeah.
Because I've been listening to music that I've had on my various phones for well over a year.
The place your head is.
I know. But very, very close last night when we were at the casino, you said Bobby Vinton, and then I had Bobby Vinton stuck in my head.
Fuck. that harlot at the casino. Yeah,
oh, wow.
yeah, for myself, it's been all week. All week is the song New Star by Tears for Fears. Moving from this state of friction, we I don't know why. Every time I look at Reznor, for some reason, it goes through my head, and I just start singing it to him. The baby, we're alive. I don't know how to just. And it's just, I don't know. I just, it's been making me really happy. I enjoy that song immensely. It's from the Threesome soundtrack, which is a great soundtrack. It's got that song. It's got I'll Take You There by General Public. A cover of Patti Smith's Dancing Barefoot by Bono, who I fucking hate, but I mean, it's a really great version. It's a very cool soundtrack. And you don't have one. That's kind of a little bit sad. Yeah. I've had a virtual jukebox going through my head all week. It's just
you are very lucky.
I know. And they were good songs, too. But you started with that fucking Bobby Vinton shit last night, and I was scared that stuff was going to get stuck in there. And that,
well,
I would have to fucking stab you to death in your sleep.
Well, that was like me. I was frying up my breakfast this morning, and John's like, Friday. And it's like, you shut that fuck up right now.
All right. Well, let's carry on with our Netflix.ca recommendations this week.
Alrighty.
What have you got cooking over there?
I have a double shot of Guy Ritchie movies.
That's so hilarious because I went with the director this week too.
Oh. I have Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels from 1998.
I still have not seen that movie.
Really?
I'm really not too curious about it. I don't know why.
It was the one that actually introduced me to Guy Ritchie movies.
Because that was the first Guy Ritchie movie.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you would have gotten there before that, I'd have concerns, Mark.
Shut up. But yeah, it has all of my favorite guys, like Jason Statham. And
Was he in the first one?
Yep.
I thought he didn't come along till Snatch.
Vinnie Jones. No, he just wasn't as big a player. In the first one, it was Jason Fleming who was the lead.
He's gone places.
And also, I've got Snatch from 2000 with Brad Pitt.
I love that movie.
And Jason Statham again. It was such a good movie.
It is.
Very, very convoluted and twisted in places, and it was great.
Yeah, no, it is so much fun. Don't they have Swept Away on Netflix?
No, they just have just these two Guy Ritchie movies.
Everybody's so down on Swept Away. No, that's cool. Snatch is a lot of fun. Snatch is a lot of fun. It was a big surprise because I wasn't too sure if I would enjoy it, and I really did.
But yeah, Brad Pitt's accent in it.
Oh my God, he's hilarious in it.
And the fact that he actually went out and had one of his front teeth chipped.
Oh my goodness, Brad Pitt deprettified himself.
I know.
For a part. Oh my goodness. No, Brad Pitt, what I do like about Brad Pitt is that he doesn't really seem to be too appearance conscious. It's like, did you ever see California?
Yes.
His character, Early Grace, in that movie is just fucking despicable. My friend Mike back in Lucia, I used to do a dead-on impression. It was just like, stop that, you're creeping me out. Because he'd do a little snot suck and everything. It was just like, wrong. Yes, for Netflix, I chose a director as well this week. I picked David Cronenberg.
Really?
Canadian God.
Shocker.
What can I say? David Cronenberg, he speaks to my heart. He makes my heart happy with his terrible, terrible tales of yikes. But there's four Cronenberg films on Netflix. The first is Spider, which is an amazing film. And I'm going to say this about each one, so just get used to that and like suck on it. With Ralph Fiennes and Miranda Richardson, and I believe Gabriel Byrne is in it as well. Ralph Fiennes is a schizophrenic, and he's just basically taking a journey back through his mind at his childhood and all these things that have happened to him, but it's happening in tandem with the life that he's living now. So it sort of mixes. Yeah. It's Cronenberg playing with that interplay between reality and what's going on in somebody's head, the way that he did in Videodrome and Existenz. And
I found it to be a little bit of a departure for him, though. Like, it wasn't quite the same as his normal, there's something wrong.
Oh, this was sort of a transitional film. I think it was the last thing he did before History of Violence. Hmm. So, you know, it was sort of, he was sort of moving into more mature waters at that point already. So you can definitely see a bridge between what he's doing now and what he used to do in Spider. It's mm-hmm. definitely there.
I still enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah. Also on Netflix is Naked Lunch.
Yes.
It is so wonderfully fucked up and creepy, and I love it, love it, love it. Peter Weller, it's a weird quasi-adaptation of the William Burroughs novel Naked Lunch.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's almost kind of a biography of William Burroughs himself. It's about the main character played by Peter Weller is an exterminator whose wife is stealing his bug spray and getting high on it. And while doing a William Tell, accidentally shoots her, and he runs off to Tangiers, where he meets a bevy of bizarre characters, which actually happened to William Burroughs. He accidentally shot his wife to death doing a William Tell, and then spent a lot of the 60s over in Tangiers.
Crazy.
Yeah, but then it takes elements from the novel Naked Lunch and brings it into that biographical story, and it's... Like I said, it's wonderfully fucked up and
twisted.
Yeah. When you see the typewriters turn into bugs with talking assholes, you'll understand what we mean. Judy Davis is in this. She's fantastic. And, it's a great film. If you're feeling a little adventurous, go for it. Otherwise, mm-hmm. stay away. I haven't got a list in front of me. I'm going by memory here. Oh, Crash would be next.
Yeah.
The 1996. Sex and car accidents classic by Cronenberg.
It was a bit of a hard watch for me.
Before we get to your opinion, let's tell people what it's about.
Okay.
This is it's a film starring James Spader, Holly Hunter, Elias Kateras, Spader, and Hunter are both in a car accident. It evokes these sexual feelings from them, and they start having a sexual relationship with car accidents, as it were. Mm-hmm. It's not exclusive to them. They start meeting these other people who have. It's almost kind of like a club or a cult that worship car accidents
Recreate famous ones.
Yes. Yeah. Rosanna Arquette is one of them, and Elias Kateras. James Spader's wife, played by Deborah Kerr Unger, they have a very open and unusual sexual relationship to begin with, but this sort of starts to drive them apart. Kind of like Dead Ringers in a way. The way mm-hmm. that the drugs drove the Mantle twins apart in Dead Ringers, this accident drives a wedge between Kara Unger and James Spader, and she's trying to sort of catch up with him the way that the Mantle twins tried to get back into sync by using drugs and sex in Dead Ringers. So there's a connection. There, I mean, you can see the Cronenberg elements from previous films. And the thing with Crash is that, yes, it is absolutely absurd. How can anybody be sexually aroused by a car accident? Maybe those people are out there. I highly doubt it, though. But the thing is, with Crash is that when you're watching it, you have to unplug those elements and start plugging in what turns you on.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you can start imagining what it is that turns you on, motivating the characters, then it's more understandable to see how maybe they get a little unhinged and obsessive about it.
Yeah, I do have to say, though, that Holly Hunter was beautiful in it.
Oh, Rosanna Arquette with those fucking scars at the back of her leg. There's just something, it's just crazy sexy about that. And that's the thing about the movie is that it's got this really kind of crazy sexiness about it. At the same time, it's absolutely repellent. And I think that's the genius of Cronenberg is that he really finds that line. And it's a hard line. It's gonna leave people on one side and others on the other, but it's there. I went to this movie in the theater, and people were getting up in the middle of it and walking out, and it was pissing me off. Like, I swear to God, dude, I'm sitting in the back of the theater, And I am catcalling the fucking, the weak, the faint-hearted. It's like, you knew what you're getting into when you came here. Go sit down. Haley's like, shush, shush, shush. Pissed me off. It just pissed me off. And last but definitely not least, I think is probably Cronenberg's most successful film, 1986's The Fly, with Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know really what more needs to be said about The Fly. I think everybody because knows
if,
what it's yeah, about.
If you haven't seen it, well, then you're obviously a moron.
Well, no, if you haven't seen it, we're recommending it to you to watch. But it is well, a yeah, classic
I guess,
film. It
I
is,
guess, yeah, there would be people now who haven't seen it because it is 86.
I got a text or a Facebook message from Ross this week. Ross works part-time at a major chain of consumer electronics and entertainment.
That it would be best to go buy things from.
There you go. he works there part-time. And some of the crew that are working on the new Total Recall film came in to purchase copies of the original because a bunch of them hadn't seen it.
Huh.
So don't call people a moron. Sometimes they're just young.
I'm sorry.
So yes, those were my Netflix recommendations this week. The Cronenberg, Cronenberg, Cronenberg. And hopefully there'll be more Cronenberg to talk about soon. Like mm-hmm. History of Violence and Eastern Promises and Videodrome. And,
yes.
Oh, I love Cronenberg.
I wouldn't, isn't there, going to be Eastern Promises 2 coming out?
There was talk of it, but right now he's working on that. I forget what the hell it's called, about the guy driving across the city. He's the big wig in the back of the limousine. They cast Robert Pattinson.
Oh.
I know. But, you know, if anybody's going to turn me around on that guy, it's going to be Cronenberg. So.
Yeah, because, well, History of Violence and Eastern Promises with Viggo Mortensen, just both of them, such an amazing...
I think that there's a lot of great screen combinations of directors and actors. You know, you've got De Niro and Scorsese's, Ridley Scott's trying like hell for it to be him and Russell Crowe. But I think that Cronenberg has really found a muse with Viggo Mortensen.
Mm-hmm.
That you know that these guys get together and they obviously have some sort of connection because he
Viggo puts so much work in each one of his characters.
Oh, but I think that you have to have that sort of understanding between actor and director for somebody to really convey everything that the director wants to see
mm-hmm.
happen on screen the way that the director wants it. And I mean, Cronenberg's not a guy that you see working with the same people over and over again. He tends to cycle through actors quite a bit.
Yeah, not like the Coen brothers who seem to have the same stable.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, and there's a lot of people that really want to work with Cronenberg, so the fact that you get invited back for a second time mm-hmm. is a big honor. So, you know, I would really like to see these two guys work together again. In fact, I think Viggo Mortensen was supposed to be the guy in the Pattinson role, but for whatever reason it didn't work out. But maybe the next time it'll be Mortensen again.
Mm-hmm.
One can hope.
Indeed.
So, I guess that is it for this week.
Already?
Yeah. I guess Mark can go repent and try and wash his stained soul from the horrible things he says about the elderly. And the rest of us can go and have fun, watch some great movies on Netflix, listen to some crazy music, and play with our toys.
Indeed.
All right. So until next time, everybody, I'm Alan.
And I'm Mark.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Welcome to Hermaphobia. I'm Alan.
And I'm Mark.
Good day, sir.
Hello.
How are you today?
I am chilly.
Where did that very, very, very pedestrian, sad intro come from? That's just awful.
I don't know, but you got it right the first time this time. That's good.
Okay, let's not bring up past mistakes here now. Okay, let's start over.
Alrighty.